everyone. Welcome to another episode of Strong in the Saddle. I'm your host, Katrina. And before we get rolling, if you could please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, that would be greatly appreciated. And check me out on Instagram at Strong in the Saddle. And if you haven't, be sure to check out my YouTube channel. I think by the time this episode is released, I think I'll have 8 videos on my channel. If you just search Reiner Life, R-E-I-N-E-R Life, it should pop up. And yeah, be sure to check that out. So today I thought I would go through some of the equipment that I use with my reining horse. It's a common question from people, you know, what kind of XYZ do you use? I will say right off the bat that there are so many good products on the market now. Just because I use one particular brand of something doesn't mean that another brand doesn't have an equally good option. It's all about personal preference and figuring out what works for you and your horse. There are some people out there who are super brand loyal, while, you know, there's others who just kind of mix and match all sorts of things. For myself personally, I definitely have my go-to brands, which I'll always look to first when I need something, but I'm in no way tied to any specific brand at this point. If there's another company that offers something that my favorite brand doesn't, or offers something that looks like it would be better, I would definitely purchase that. And there are some things where I really don't care what the brand is. It doesn't matter. Like as far as like halters, even like winter blankets, like I don't really care what brand those are because they're pretty much the same across the board. There are some brands out there that are going to be better than others. It's no different than anything else. I would highly encourage you to check out reviews on things before making a purchase, especially if it's something more expensive, like a saddle. I'm not going to go into detail today on how to make purchasing decisions. I'm just going to share what I'm currently using. One last note before we get started, price makes a difference. You get what you pay for with almost everything in the horse industry, including the equipment you use. If there is something out there that you find their prices seem really low compared to everyone else, there's a reason that it's low, and it's usually not a good reason. Like, it's just poor quality, whether it's just not going to work as good, it could make your horse sore, it could break, or just wear out quicker than other things. With that being said, let's get into what I use with my horses. We'll start right at the basics, what I use for a halter. On all of my horses, I use rope halters. I don't think I even own one of those wide nylon halters anymore. The reason I like a rope halter is A, they just fit my horse's head better, and B, they are more effective when you need to use them. A wide nylon halter, it kind of blunts the feel if you bump on the halter or whatever else. And that's even the case too. Like if you see those halters with the really big leather nose bands, that's going to blunt the feel of the halter to your horse. A rope halter is also much easier to cut in the event that something happens and you need to get that halter off, but for whatever reason you can't undo it the way you normally would. That comes from like PTSD from, we had a horse that we were loading into a trailer. I think there was one other horse already in the trailer, and we were loading this mare, and I believe my mom tied her in the trailer, and all of a sudden this mare pulled back so hard, and because it was a smaller trailer, she was like basically outside of the trailer, freaking out, but still like tied inside the trailer, and we had to cut the halter because it was just a gong show. It needed to be cut, and there's no way like a pocket knife would have, or it would have taken longer at least to cut one of those wider halters. So that is why. I don't have a preference on brand when it comes to halters. As I said, it's such a basic piece of equipment that for the most part, any brand works. When I went to buy a new halter for when I purchased Diesel, I honestly bought just based on looks. Like, ooh, it is my favorite color and it has some sparkly things on it. Let's buy that. The lead rope attached to the halter is another thing to consider. Some halters come with the lead like woven into the halter. So it's like one continuous piece of equipment instead of two separate pieces. Others will come with leads that are just attached by like some sort of tie or clip. I like the ones with the clip. You never know when you want to remove your lead rope from your halter. So that's a nice option to have. The clip can also be a training tool. If your horse is getting in your space, you can kind of, you know, wiggle that rope. And if you do that right, like you can kind of hit your horse in the jaw with that clip. And it just kind of is a bit more of an abrupt cue to your horse to be like, hey, get out of my space. So yeah, just having that bit of ability to be a bit more assertive with the tool I'm using can be really handy, especially in those horses that want to crowd you when you're doing groundwork. Grooming tools are another thing to look at. For the most part, again, brand doesn't really matter when it comes to grooming tools. I only have two horses, which means I don't spend a ton of time grooming them like on a day-to-day basis. If I have a brush or whatever that's not ergonomically designed for my hand, it doesn't really matter. As long as it does the job, that's all that really matters. I have a few brushes from Oster, Oster. Those are expensive. They're probably like the top of the line brushes, but you can tell that they are because like they just fit in your hand really good. They last a long time. I really like their mane and tail brush. I really like that, and I use that every day. As for the rest of my grooming tools, I have no idea what brand they are. I actually have some brushes and just like other grooming tools that came with my very, very first horse. And I got her in 2000, I think. Is that right? I think so. Yeah. And they still work fine. Like the flick, like stiff bristled brush that I use every day to just like get dirt off my horses is the brush I got with my first horse. So, I mean, if you take care of things, they'll last. If you're grooming horses for a living or like have a lot of horses that you're grooming, I think you would probably want to be a bit more particular about the tools you're using. But for the most part, like whatever you find at your local tack or feed store is going to work for this. It's going to be fine. On a day-to-day basis, I use a hoof pick. I use that mane and tail brush from Oster that I mentioned and that stiff bristled flick brush. In the springtime, I'll use a curry comb and a shedding blade. Again, I think they're just random things I got at the feed store. If my horse gets really sweaty or if I'm giving him a bath, I use a sweat scraper. And yeah, that's about it for grooming tools. Once I get my horse groomed, it's time to start saddling up. So we'll start with the saddle pad I use. Right now, I use a 5-star saddle pad. My husband purchased it for me for my birthday a couple years ago. 5-star pads are made out of wool, and they come in a variety of thicknesses. I think mine's a 3/4-inch pad. I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure it's 3/4-inch. For someone who is just, you know, doing arena work, you're not doing a lot of like heavy duty roping, pulling cows or anything like that, a thicker pad isn't really necessary and can actually cause issues. like if your saddle fits your horse well, if you put a super thick pad underneath it, that can actually impact how your saddle fits just because you have that extra thickness to deal with. So like a moderately thick pad is probably the go-to. Again, I'm not going to go into how to make purchasing decisions in this episode, but just be mindful of that. And again, when you're buying a pad and when you're buying a saddle, you need to be mindful of how that combo of pad and saddle are going to fit your horse. There's tons and tons of saddle pad options out there. Some are wool, some are like that neoprene material. Others are, I don't know, different fabrics. Personally, I love wool pads. I think they just allow your horse to sweat better than, say, a neoprene pad. I actually tried using a neoprene pad under my show pad this summer when I was showing. And, like, yeah, we showed on days where it was really hot, but my horse started dripping sweat from that pad almost instantly, which that is not great. And especially if your horse is going to be wearing that pad like all day at a show, you need them to be comfortable. So definitely I would lean towards a wool pad. 5-star pads are a bit more expensive, but they are 100% worth it. And like I've used my pad for a few years now and it's still awesome as the day I got it. Other than a few rub marks on the side from my latigo and my stirrup leathers, it's basically got no sign of wear at all. And I ride 6 days a week for most of the year. I would highly recommend spending the money. You can spend less money on other pads, but again, you run the risk of just buying a pad that isn't comfortable for your horse, which could make them sore. And the pad might just start wearing out way sooner than an expensive pad would. And so, like, over the course of several years, you're going to spend the same amount of money anyways because you're going to have to buy new pads more often. And then, of course, we have my saddle. For years and years, I rode in a Martin Saddlery brand saddle. It was my barrel saddle. I absolutely loved that saddle. I love how high quality Martin is. I've rode in that saddle a ton and it looks awesome. But when I bought a new horse this spring, I knew there was a good chance that my Martin wouldn't fit my new horse. Although that being said, with my Martin, it has an adjustable rigging setup, so it actually could have fit Diesel. I've never put it on him. But beyond that, I also just wanted to get out of my barrel saddle and into a reining saddle because I have now officially changed disciplines. When I bought Diesel, the woman who was selling him was also selling her saddle, and that saddle had actually been fitted to Diesel. So I rode in the saddle when I went to try him out, and it fit Diesel. It fit me. So rather than trying to spend time trying to find a saddle somewhere else or trying to find a Martin Rainer, I just decided to buy horse and saddle as a package deal. So that saddle that I ride in now is a Western Rawhide. It's a reining saddle, which means the pommel is lower than my barrel saddle, the cantle is lower, the horn is a bit thicker. Another big difference is that the seat is slick. My barrel saddle has kind of like that cloth material on the seat, I guess, which means I didn't move around a whole lot. And it actually took me a bit to get used to that having that slippery seat. But now that I'm used to it, I don't want to ride in anything else. I love that I can move on my horse. For years and years, I think I was scared of like moving on my horse, especially making a barrel run, I wanted to be as secure as possible so that there was like no chance I was coming off. But I honestly think that kind of negatively impacted my riding. With a slick seat, it's not like I'm like a monkey up there moving all over the place, but I'm just able to move with my horse more and adjust my seat as I need to, depending on what I'm doing. And yeah, so far I'm really happy with this saddle. It fits me, it fits my horse. We'll see how it does in terms of wearability. I honestly don't know much about the Western Rawhide brand at all. There's definitely more expensive saddles out there. Lots of people in the reining industry ride Bob's saddles, but this one seems to be working for us for the time being. If you're going to spend money anywhere, I highly recommend that you spend money on a saddle. Cheap saddles do way more harm than good. They'll make your horse sore. They'll probably make you as a rider sore. They probably won't allow you the ability to like sit and ride in the most optimal way possible. And again, there's a chance that they'll start wearing out way before they should. You have to look at a saddle as an investment, because that it is. Take your time when you're trying to find one. Do your research. Make sure you go try it out, including like put it on your horse and ride in it before you pull the trigger. Sitting in a saddle and a saddle stand in a store is not going to cut it. Going to an experienced saddle fitter is definitely something I would recommend. I know lots of people, you know, buy and sell saddles like on Facebook and stuff like that. That's fine, but just don't buy just on the internet. It's not like buying a t-shirt on the internet. You need to go and actually try it out. My saddle doesn't have a back cinch, which I'm fine with. Assuming your saddle fits your horse properly, you don't really need a back cinch unless, like, again, you're doing roping or doing trail riding where you're going up and down hills. I also don't ride with a breast collar. On my barrel saddle, I always rode with a breast collar, but to be honest, it was really for no other reason than I just thought it looked funny without a breast collar. It's just kind of more the barrel racer look more than anything else. A breast collar is to prevent your saddle from tipping one way or the other. But again, assuming you aren't doing like super extreme riding, and like if your saddle fits correctly, you don't need a breast collar. The cinch that I currently have on my reining saddle it's a fleece cinch by Professional's Choice. The only reason I bought it was because Diesel's previous owner said that he prefers to be rode in a fleece cinch. Honestly, at this point, I don't think Diesel really cares. But at the time, to ensure the best possible start with him, I was like, okay, I want to keep things as status quo for him as possible. So I went out. I needed a new cinch anyways. I went out and bought him a fleece cinch. Again, like saddle pads, I would not recommend buying a neoprene cinch. Again, opt for fleece or wool. Those materials tend to let the horse breathe better and they have less of a tendency to cause sores and stuff from rubbing and whatnot. I will just say, I realize I'm mentioning a lot of stuff in this episode. I will leave links to everything in the show notes. The next thing that I put on after my saddle is leg protection. Right now, all of the leg protection that I use is from Classic Equine. And for those of you who don't know, Martin Saddlery and Classic Equine are under the same branch. The company has, I think it's called Equibrand. They have several. I think they have Cactus Ropes, they have Martin Saddlery, they have Classic Equine. So every time I ride, I use bell boots. And right now I'm using the dino turn bell boots. More often than not, I also put front leg boots on my horse, especially if I know I'm going to be doing a lot of lateral work where my horse's legs are going to be crossing over each other. When I bought Diesel, I had to go out and buy all new leg boots because he's way smaller than my now retired horse, Junior. Junior was a large or extra large on everything. Diesel is like maybe a medium, but more likely a small. So I opted to buy Classic Equine's Legacy 2 boots for his front legs. I love those boots, and I just love how they fit and how they wrap around my horse's legs. You know, tons of protection in the event that they misstep or whatever else. They are on the pricey side, but I think most leg protection is at this point, regardless of the brand. I think front boots alone were $100, but 100% worth the money. I'd rather spend money on boots than on vet bills, which a vet bill is going to be way more expensive than a pair of boots. At this time, I don't use anything on Diesel's back legs. We aren't really stopping and sliding really big just yet, so back leg protection isn't really warranted at this point. When we do start like really stopping and digging into the ground, I'll probably I have a pair of just standard roping skid boots. I'll probably put those on. I also don't put any knee protection on him at the moment. One of Diesel's weak points is his spins. So we aren't at the point where we're like spinning like tornadoes at this point. So once again, I don't really think knee protection is really necessary. But again, when we do pick up the pace and we start spinning faster, I will probably put something on. You can buy like knee protection, but you can also just, I've seen people just put like a bell boot on upside down on one of their knees, and that works too. I do not use polo wraps. I have a couple pairs kicking around, but I never use them. They are significantly cheaper, yes. I know how to properly put them on, thanks to 4-H, but I have this fear that they are going to come undone at the worst possible moment. I know how to put them on, and I've never had it happen where they've come undone, but it just is a fear of mine, so I don't use them. Next up is my bridle setup. Right now, I'm using two different bridles, depending on how things are going, what I'm doing. The first is just my good old snaffle setup. That setup has a head stall with one ear slot and then a long leather split reins. I don't have really a preference for brow band versus ear slot head stalls. I think they can both be good. The only thing you need to be mindful of is that slotted ear head stalls, they do have a higher risk of coming off. Like a horse could rub it off or what have you. The head stall I have for my snaffle it's actually custom made. I got it for Christmas several years ago. You can never go wrong with something custom made. They look awesome, and that stuff usually lasts forever. The snaffle, it's just kind of like a D-ring, smooth mouth. I got it at local tack store. No idea what brand it is. But I will just say a note on bits. They are worth the money. Cheap bits can actually damage your horse's mouth. So you want something that's well made with no sharp edges and that has a good weight to it. And that's made from good quality material. I have a chin strap on my snaffle, but it's just a leather one. And it really serves no purpose, because a snaffle bit doesn't have any leverage action. Again, it's one of those things like the breast collar. I just feel like if I don't have a chin strap on, which I don't on my show snaffle bridle. It just looks like there's something missing. So the reins on my snaffle are split leather reins. I honestly don't know where I got them, what brand they are. They're a medium thickness and just long enough that when I'm riding my horse and I have contact on his mouth, the tails of the reins are, you know, around my horse's knees or so. I like a bit of a heavier rein, not super heavy, but I like having that feel in my hands. I feel like really light, thin reins don't give me a very good feel, and I feel like they just kind of end up going all over the place. I will not ride with neoprene reins. They're too sticky in my hands, and I prefer split reins 100%. I know it can feel like a lot to deal with if you're not an experienced rider, but I would rather, way rather ride with split reins instead of a single roping rein. There is a time and a place for a single rein. Like when I was barrel racing, I always rode with a single rein or roping. But for training and doing the sort of horsemanship things that I'm doing, split reins all the way. My reins are looped through my bit with the leather. I don't have clips on my reins. They tend to mess with the feel you get from your horse's mouth. And the other bridle setup I have is a correction bit setup. Again, ear slotted head stall. It's by Wheeler and it has a throat latch to help minimize the risk of it coming off. The bit I'm using is a correction bit. It's from Bob Avila's Professionals Choice line. I wanted to buy a higher end bit because I know I'm going to be using this for years to come, but in the case of pretty much every bit maker at the moment, there's like an 8-month wait to get a new bit made, and I needed something right away, so I went with Professional's Choice. Because that bit uses leverage, I have a chin strap on that. It's a braided chain leather combo, and I think it's by Weaver as well. The reins on this bridle... Oh my gosh, the reins. Let me tell you about the reins on this bridle. I am in love with these reins. They are by Weaver and they are made out of harness leather. Again, they're a medium weight, but they're pre-oiled and I just love them. They have that weight to them, but at the same time, they're super soft and flexible in my hand. They're a bit longer than the reins on my other setup, which isn't super great if I'm really collecting up my horse, but I still love them. That's probably my favorite tack purchase to date, those reins. And again, those reins are attached with the leather itself, the leather of the reins, rather than clips. Next up would be spurs, which can be controversial. My leg is way more effective when you have spurs on. When I first got Diesel, I was hesitant to use spurs. I didn't know how he would respond, but it ended up getting to the point where I was so gassed in my rides because I was constantly having to use my legs. Like, he just wasn't respecting just my heel. So I broke down and put my spurs on, which I've rode spurs on Junior forever. When I have my spurs on, I don't necessarily use them. Diesel knows they're there and he's just respectful of that. So it refines my leg aid. I'm not ramming my spur into his side or anything. Most of the time I'm just using my calf of my leg, not the spur. Anyways, this isn't an episode on to use spurs or not, but the spurs I use aren't anything fancy. I have no idea on the brand. Found them at a local tack shop, and the straps I received as an anniversary present, I'm pretty sure they're Weaver. I'm a fan of Weaver leather products. The shanks of the spurs, a couple inches long, maybe at the most, maybe like an inch and a half. Rowels are, they're definitely not an inch in diameter. The length of the shank you need on a spur is going to really depend on where your leg lands on your horse's side, which that's going to be dependent on size of your horse, length of your leg, all those things. I'm trying to think what else I use for equipment when I'm riding. On occasion, I've ridden with a crop or a dressage whip, but I'm not really used to riding with that, so I just kind of find it awkward. I'd rather just give my horse a flick with the end of my rein if I need to, rather than carrying around an extra tool. As Diesel's training progresses, the bits I use will evolve, but you know, that basic setup of a good quality headstall, leather reins, that's not going to change. I will also say I'm not a super flashy rider. In the barrel racing world where I used to be, there's quite the flashy setups that you can see. You know, they've got leopard print, super bright leg boots, fringe, all the things. I am not into that. I've never been into that. All of my leather is just a basic medium brown. I have one set of turquoise boots. Everything else is black. My saddle pad is black with just that bit of leather on the sides. My saddle has like some basket tooling, nothing fancy, all very basic. But that's how I like it. I like that look. It's basic, it works, and that's what's really important at the end of the day. Like I said at the beginning, there's a ton of options to choose from when it comes to just about everything we use with our horses. The only real differences would be quality. And then from there, what you choose to use would just be a matter of personal preference and what works for you. So like I said, I will try and link to all of the things I mentioned in the show notes. There might be some things I can't find, like that I've had for a zillion years and have no idea what the brand is, but I'll try to find similar things so you guys can get an idea of what I'm talking about. I'm not in any way affiliated with these brands, just a fan of the products. So I like to give brands that are doing good work a shout out when I can. And yeah, that is about it. If you guys have any questions on equipment, tack, I love talking about tack. So reach out to me. Probably the best way is Instagram, direct message. There is, if you look in the show notes, there should be an option. You can actually leave me a voice message through Anchor, which is my podcast host. You can leave me a voice message. If you want to do that, you definitely can. And, you know, I could have your question on the podcast. That would be fun too. That is it. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Give a follow on Instagram at Strong in the Saddle. Check out my YouTube channel. Just search Rainer Life or click the link in the show notes. And until next time, remember, it's always a good day to ride.